Well, it is great to be back. It's been a while, and I'm sure after this morning you'll say, hopefully it'll be a while longer, but I tell you, I hope everybody's having a good weekend. I've been having a great weekend. When your son calls you and says your little two-year-old granddaughter wants to have a sleepover with Pop Pop and Gammy, it just makes your day. So I'm blessed with a two-year-old granddaughter and an eight-month-old grandson. And, you know, people have always said once you become a grandparent, there's nothing like it. And you just have to experience, and I tell you, there's nothing like it. If I would have known being grandparents were this much fun, I would not have wasted my time having kids myself. I would have just went straight to the grandkids. But it is great to be here. And I tell you what, I know you have you've had some guest speakers coming through, and really when you're being a guest speaker and there's you're following people and people are following you, it can be pressure. But I tell you what, I have never felt less pressure than this morning. Jason last week, and Jason does a great job. That's pressure. Less than 24 hours after the Buckeyes had lost to Michigan, if you were like stop nine last Sunday morning, the pitchforks were out. That could not have been easy, trying to appease the masses. And then after Friday night when USC lost and the Buckeyes are now sliding into the playoffs, look, I'm like the Calvary coming in on the white horse. I have come and delivered a playoff for you. So all is good regardless what kind, whatever you get out of me, you know you'll be happy when 12 o'clock rolls around. But I want to, again, thank you for coming out. Our title is not bending or bowing, and that's something that's even more than ever is tough and something we struggle with a lot. Matthew 5:45, you know, whether you choose to make Christ your Lord and Savior or you choose not to, and that's the beauty, God gives you a choice who you will choose to serve. Regardless, we're all under the same umbrella, and that in Matthew 5:45, God tells us that he allows the sun to shine on the good and the evil, and he will also send rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. And another thing we all do, we all deal with peer pressure. I don't care what age you are. How many of you deal with peer pressure? See, look at you. You're dealing with it right now. I really don't want to raise my hand. I deal with it, but do I feel like I have to? He's got his hand up, so I better stick mine up. You know, right there. I'm a school teacher at Buckeye Trail, and I seen a thing a few weeks ago said from middle school on up, said 90% of kids in school said that they deal with peer pressure, that it's a problem. You know what that tells me about the 10% that say they don't? They're lying. Because we all deal with it. And peer pressure and trying to appease others and making that your life happiness is getting approval of others, that's a tough life to live. Another one, they ask, kids that bully other kids in school. 4 out of 5 kids that will admit that they are bullies in school when asked, why do you bully kids and others in school? 4 out of 5 said, because my friends do it. So people are watching what we're doing. And We're going to look at four brief points here on not bending and bowing, because Hebrews 11:6 tells us without faith, it is impossible to please God. In our first point, we're going to see out of this passage in Daniel 3 is that life is filled with challenges and our faith will be challenged. See, Daniel 3 starts out, it tells us about King Nebuchadnezzar. He is the king of Babylon. Babylon is the most powerful empire. Babylon is a ruthless nation. It's a lot of bad stuff going on in Babylon. And one of the reasons is their king, King Nebuchadnezzar. This is a guy that has gotten so full of himself. He's the most powerful man on the planet. And he knows it, and it's gone to his head. You ever have to deal with people who always have to be right, who always have things go their way, who always they think everything should revolve around them? Ladies, please don't look at them. Just nod your head. You know, we don't want to have any, you know, squabbles at the lunch table today. But yeah, those people are difficult to get around. King Nebuchadnezzar is looking around and he sees, hey, look at this. This is my kingdom. This is my dynasty. But what else can I do to bring this home? Then they come up with the idea, hey, won't we build a 90-foot tall statue of you, King Nebuchadnezzar, 90 feet high and 9 feet wide. So they decide to do that. And then they decide that they will add one more wrinkle. Now look, I'm sure there's not many of us that have a 90-foot high, 9-foot wide statue of ourselves in our lawn. But see, Nebuchadnezzar, it has nothing to do with them bowing down to the statue. It's about them bowing down to him. But see, Nebuchadnezzar, everything has become the image of his success, his power, and his happiness. Now, you may go, well, hey, I don't have a statue of me. But what image do you have in your life that is putting your eyes on instead of on the Father? See, Nebuchadnezzar, it's going a little overboard, but it's still something that even as Christians that we struggle with. Success, power, approval, being liked, being successful. That's all he wants. Like the great philosopher T.O., Terrell Owens, once said, I love me some me. And that's what King Nebuchadnezzar, that's where he's at. But I want to bring it closer to home this morning. Is seeking God's approval not as important as it should be? Whose approval do you seek and base your self-esteem on? Is it on the one who went to the cross for you to show you just how valuable you are? Or is it the one that you're still trying to seek approval that just will not give it up? So they have the statue, and then King Nebuchadnezzar decides, hey, one more thing. And in verse 6 of chapter 3, he says, hey, I'll tell you what. You go on and do what you do during the day, but whenever we strike up the band and the band starts playing, you need to stop what you're doing and you need to bow down. and honor me. Because if you don't, this blazing furnace that you all can see, you know where it's located, that's where you're going to end up. So sounds simple enough. Because see, Babylon has taken over, they've gotten the Hebrews, they've gotten God's chosen people, they've taken them captive. And we're going to look at three of them that were taken captive. Some, they were made slaves, but some would be put in position of power. And we will look at that. Strike up the band. All we ask is that you bow. Point number two, we don't bow down to the images that the world pushes upon us. See, you see here in Daniel 3:12. Throughout the week, the band plays, people bow. You know, when everybody's down on their knees, it's very easy to see the ones who are not. And people kind of, they're bowing down and they look and they notice three boys who are not bowing down. And this starts rubbing the ones who are bowing down the wrong way. Because see, the Chaldeans who sit there and they work and they serve King Nebuchadnezzar, when it came time to give people promotions and give people high-paying jobs, right under King Nebuchadnezzar, he passes over the Chaldeans who are there with him day after day. And he gives these three boys who are not bowing the job. They got the promotion. They're the ones. They pass over. So the Chaldeans, they go to King Nebuchadnezzar and they say, hey, King, you remember the three that you gave the job to instead of me? The one who's bowing, the one who didn't get the job. Hey, King, they're not bowing. They are not bowing down like they're supposed to. The ones that you passed me over for. So they can't wait to tell King Neb this. But I got to tell you something. King Nebuchadnezzar is furious. I took these three boys slaves and I end up giving them pretty good paying job, and this is the thing. He's furious. But I will give King Nebuchadnezzar this. If you notice, he's told this. He don't just go throw them in the furnace. Just because he seen it on Facebook, he didn't go, oh, if it's on Facebook, it's true. Take those guys and burn them. What does he do? He brings them to him. And he asks, wow, I will give this egomaniac credit for that. Because sometimes, if I'm honest, I don't do as well as King Neb on that. You hear something, I can't believe it. But that's the problem, we do believe it. So he brings these three boys up to him. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he says, hey guys, I'm pretty mad. And I'm going to tell you why. I hear when the band's playing, you're not bowing down. Now, I'm sure there's got to be a misunderstanding. Someone's wires got crossed. You didn't check your email this morning. You didn't get the memo. So I tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to have the band strike it back up. And they're going to play. And you're going to bow down. And if you don't, you will go into the furnace. And then Nebuchadnezzar even goes next level. And he says, you know what? And there's no gods. There ain't a god out there that can save you. That's your god. That's your god. Oh, you think you're gods? Tell them to bring it. There's no god that will be able to protect you from my hands. Guys, all you got to do is bow. When peer pressure, temptation of our world comes, and you're asked to just slightly bend what you believe in, or just slightly bow, what do we do? Let's be serious. Let's be honest. Bow or burn? Why not just fake it? Why don't Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when the music's played, why don't they just bow? We're not worshiping him. And then when it's over, get back up and go on serving the true God. Seems to make sense. I mean, would it check the boxes? Everybody else is doing it. Everybody else is bowing down. Is it going to hurt if I do? Check. I might lose my job. Oh, they're going to lose more than their job if they don't bow. But hey, I may lose my job. I've got to support my family. I know it's wrong. I know it's illegal. I know this ain't ethical. Check. Hey, I may lose my friends' approval. My friends may not think that much of me anymore. Check. Why not just fake it? Have you tried that before? It's Saturday night. You're running with some buddies and they want to do things, partake in things that you know you probably shouldn't, but you do it anyway. But then we come in Sunday morning and saying, I've got a mansion just over the hilltops. And we go to work and we hear our coworkers using language and stuff, saying things, running down people, things that's just not appropriate. Everybody else is doing it, I can just kind of fake it today. Then we come in Sunday morning. Oh, how I love Jesus. What's wrong with that? You know what's wrong with that? The question is, what day are you truly faking? Is it today? So how are these three boys going to respond? Point number three. Some things are more important than our own safety and comfort. This is where this story really gets down to the nitty-gritty. See, little decisions that we make daily will greatly impact our big decisions. See, they've got a big decision. They are standing before the most powerful man on the planet, and they've got everybody doing the same thing. but them. And all eyes are on them. But see, if you will do the little things, if you will be consistent and faithful in the little things, when the big things come, you know what you're going to do? You're going to be faithful in the big things. This ain't their first rodeo. Daniel 1, King Nebuchadnezzar throws a big party, and they've got wine and some food that they just don't feel comfortable eating. Why not just partake? It's just a little. Everybody else is doing it. And they said, no. We don't think it's right. You guys, that's your choice. Just something that's... They would not partake of certain foods that the king had that they didn't feel that it was right to do. So they didn't do it. Something that minor. They were faithful and loyal to the little decisions. Because see, obedience of small decisions build your character. Now, they have to decide now, standing before the king, which is bigger. The reality of the pressure or the reality of the God in their lives. And this is what they say to the king. If we are thrown in the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. That's pretty good. That's good stuff. That verse could end right there. And that's a powerful verse. God is able. Do you believe God is able to deliver you? If you do, hey, that's pretty good faith. But they go one more step. He is able to deliver us, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hands. They're still being polite. So see, not only is God able, my God is able to deliver, but your majesty, my God will deliver me. Wow. You could end that verse right there, and that'd be one of the most powerful, inspiring verses in the Bible. But they go next level. Oh, does this go next level? But even if, King, even if he does not deliver us, we want you to know we will not bow down. God, my marriage is falling apart. You're able and you're willing to pull it together, but even if you don't, I will keep trusting you. God, that doctor's appointment, I'm scared to death to get the results. I know you're able and you're willing to heal me, but even if you don't, I will still serve you. Even if. Probably next to "it's finished" on the cross, probably the most two powerful words in the Bible. Or they're sitting at the table with whatever is. Even if. God, it's not about me, it's about you. So he tells the king that. And then our last one. Sometimes God's will is not to deliver us from a trial, but to give us the strength to endure the trial. The king is furious. Not only does he want them thrown in the furnace, he wants them tied up. And they're bound up. And then the king takes his top level army, guys. and takes them to the furnace and says, whoa, stop. The furnace, I know it's hot enough to do the job. Crank that baby up 7 times hotter. 7 times higher. Turn it up. It was so hot that when they were thrown in, the army guys who were thrown in were engulfed in flames and died. That's another sermon. You need to watch who you run with and what decisions you make. You could end up getting burned because of it. So they're thrown in there in the furnace. And in verse 24, the king looks in the furnace, can see it, plexiglass or whatever, and goes, wait. We tied them up. Why are they walking in the furnace? And there's, how many did we throw in there? King Frank's in ashes. Someone else. Weren't there 3 of them? Yes. Why is there 4 in the furnace? Why do I see 4 in the furnace? You know, when I get to heaven, I want to find these 3 boys. I want to know what conversation they were having in the furnace. Couldn't you hear Shadrach saying, boy, it's pretty hot. Hot day. And Shadrach saying, yeah, but it's a dry heat. You know, it's not, could be worse. It's a dry heat. It's not as bad. But there was 4 in there. See, when you have to go through your furnace, Jesus will always be there with you. And when they came out unsinged, the only thing that they were changed was they were no longer tied up. Notice they didn't come out tied up and then get untied. They got untied. They were still going through the furnace. When you're going through your furnace, you can still be untied and be in the furnace knowing who is with you. Because even if, regardless, you know you will not be alone. The king sees this, and King Nebuchadnezzar proclaims, this kingdom will now only bow down to one God, their God. And if you bow down to someone else, me included, what an impact. Just by standing up for who they were. Because you know Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you know that's not their names. Some people don't know that. That's the names the Babylonians gave to them. That's not their real names. When they were captive in Hebrew, they have 3. They have 3 names. I can't remember the 3. But these are the names that the Babylonians gave them. You know what? The world's the same way. The world will try to name you and label you on what the world thinks you should be called, what you should be like. But see, these kids didn't go by the names that they were called and what they stood for. They stood for their original names. And that means everything. You know, I've got a daughter, and I remember years ago going home, and my sister was playing with her, and she was little. And my sister said, Alex said, look at you, Dan. You are the best dancer I've ever seen. And my little daughter looked at my sister and said, Aunt Brenda, I know. And then my sister said, and Alex, look at you. You are so beautiful. You are the most beautiful girl. And she said, and Brenda, I know I am. And my sister said, Alex, what do you mean you know? How do you know? And Alex looked at her and said, because my daddy said I was. Your dad, who says you are more than conquerors, who says I will always be with you, that says I am able and I will, but even if, I am still the God that deserves to be praised. I think we have a picture in closing after that. Some of you may not know who that is. Her name is Heather Penny. She was one of the first women to fly an F-16. In fact, she was going to be a school teacher. Then they allowed women to start flying fighter planes, F-16. When she was in her mid-20s, on a beautiful day, 9/11/2001, she was sitting there at the base. They had taken some practice runs, so it was just her and a couple of other people. A few hours later that morning, two planes hit the World Trade Center. Then another plane hits the Pentagon. So then they realize we're under attack. Then they know another plane, United Flight 93, is headed to do some bad. So our country had decided that was no longer a flight that they could save. There would be no survivors. That plane has to come down before it kills more people. She had gone on practice runs. She's in her mid-20s. And her superior says, hey, let's go. We've got to go take down the plane. Well, she knows she's supposed to look and do her check things to make sure everything's up. Her superior yells at her and says, Penny, get your butt in the plane. We've got to go. So she gets in. Then she finds out her mission. They have to take down United Flight 93. But see, there's no ammunition on her plane to shoot it down, because see, it would take an hour to load live ammunition, and they didn't have time. So she's taken off and she's told, we've got a plane to take down. So he radios her and tells her while he's in the other plane, I will hit the cockpit. You take out the wings, the back wing. 25? And this is what I signed up for? And she said for a brief second, she thought, if I get close enough, I can hit the eject button and get out. And then she immediately realized, I can't take that chance. I have one shot. I've got to get that plane down. Her dad flew for United on the East Coast. She had no idea if her dad was the pilot. You know what happened to Flight 93? They didn't find it, because you had heroes on it that took it down. So they looked, they couldn't find it. Then they went and met President Bush as he was coming back to Florida and got it to make sure he got back to the White House safely. She struggled with people calling her a hero. For years, she didn't want to do interviews because it bothered her. Hey, the ones on the plane that took it down, they're the heroes. All I did was go out and supposed to do what I signed up for, even if. That's what God asked. If you're going to put the name Christ-like on you, just do what you signed up for. Even when it looks like it's not going to go well for you. Couldn't imagine what she was going through that day. But even if she was going to remain true to herself. It's tough to remain true to ourselves. I know that. But I hope you'll take the example of her and the three boys we talked about this morning. And just know God is able, God is willing. But man, if we can go next level, even if he's still the God I'm not going to turn my back on. If you want a relationship with this God that we have talked about this morning and you have not made him the Lord of your life, or if you just want to say, God, help me go next level. Help me get to pass that you're able, that I can trust your willing, and Father, help me keep growing that I can go to even if. And that's my prayer for you as we stand and sing.